Today we're beginning here at the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Chotchim yabelet b'migdash, avalo b'midina." A person can cut off a wart in the Migdash, but not in the Medina. Rashi, in describing the word yabelet, says it's a vroa, which I think is also the translation that Rashi uses for the term shuma. He talks about a birthmark or some sort of marking on the skin. But here he describes it as a wart, and he makes an interesting point here, that the Torah, when it uses the word yabelet, uses it as an adjective. It's describing the behemah. It's a behemah that's an iveret. It's a behemah that is shavur. It's a behemah that's chigeret. So the Torah, when it's describing the animal, uses all of these words as adjectives. Our Mishnah uses the word as a noun and says that botchim yabelet, you cut off a yabelet. A yabelet doesn't mean an animal with a yabelet, but rather a word itself. So it just notes the difference in the usage between the Torah, which uses it as an adjective, and our Mishnah, which uses the word as a noun. Then bikli, if you use a utensil to take it off, kan bikan asur. Then in both places, it's problematic. So the assumption being that bikli, it's problematic because it's doing a malach of some sort. It's a problem deoraita. If that's the case, then we don't allow you to do it, whether it's in the Mikdash, whether it's in the Medina, because you're doing it the normal way that it's done, by cutting it with a kli, with a tool of some sort, a knife of some sort. On the other hand, if you do a biyad, that's a shinui already. A shinui ends up in Isur Dirabanan. Now, when we're in Isur Dirabanan, then we're talking about a shvut. We waive the shvut in the Mikdash when it's necessary for the korban. Here, it's for the korban to bring it. If it has the abelet on it, you can't put it on the Mizbeach. So removing the yabelet makes it ra'ui to go on the Mizbeach. That we will waive in the Mikdash, we will not waive that in the Medina. Viriminhu. Now we have a steer between our Mishnah and in Psachim. In Psachim it says, here kivo, vevito mechutz l'tchum. He puts it on his shoulders and he brings it in from outside of the tchum. This is the Korban HaPesach. Vechatichati balto, cutting off its wart, ain dochin. They are not dochet to Shabbat. Rabbi Elezer Omer, dochin. Rabbi Elezer says they are dochet. Now Rabbi Elezer, we already know, because Rabbi Elezer is Rabbi Elezer de Mila. We also bumped into him yesterday, which is Rabbi Elezer is mater machshirei mitzvah. Not only is the mitzvah dochet to Shabbat, but even machshirim, things that make it possible to do the mitzvah, are also dochet to Shabbat. The classic example for Rabbi Elezer is by Brit Mila. So Rabbi Elezer, when it comes to Brit Mila, is matir you to make the knife to do the Brit Mila on Shabbat. You don't have a knife there. You can heat up the coals, take the metal, form the knife, and then do the Brit Milah. Because Hechsher Mitzvah is Doche et HaShabbat. So that's the classic, or the way to understand Rabbi Eliezer's position. So over here, when we're talking about a Korban HaPesach, bringing the Korban HaPesach from outside the Tchum, or cutting off the Abelet, is a Hechsher Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is to bring the Korban HaPesach. Everybody agrees the bringing of the Korban HaPesach is Doche et HaShabbat. So the question is about these Hechsheri Mitzvah, are they Doche et HaShabbat? And here we have from the Gemara Psachim that it's not. These items are not Doche et HaShabbat. So the stira being between our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Chotchin Yabelet B'Mikdash. And we have a Mishnah saying by the Korban HaPesach that you cannot be Chotech the Yabelet. How do we reconcile between these two statements? So now we have Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So over here you have two Amoraim who are coming to reconcile this problem. Chadamar, ha, v'ha b'lacha, v'lokasha, kan b'yad, kan b'kli. Fred's answer, which is they're both moist, they're both live warts in that way. One is being taken off with a yad, and that's why it's permissible, because that's a shinoi. V'chad b'kli, and one of them is being taken off with a utensil, which is nisir d'oraita. So the psachim, where it says you cannot do it, they're trying to do it with a kli, and that's why it's restricted. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you did a biyad, and that's why it's permissible. That's one of the solutions. That's one of the Amoraim solutions. The other one says, V'chad amar havaha biyad. They're both done biyad. They're both done bid derech shinoi. V'lokasha abalacha abayivesha. That depends on whether it is moist or it's dried up. The difference being that if it's dried up, then you're not really cutting anything off. You're just crumbling it. You're just rubbing it down and it falls apart itself. There's not really anything there to take off. So then our Mishnah is Biyvesha. Our Mishnah is talking about a dried out wart, and that's why you can take it off. Whereas the Psachim is talking about a case where it is Lacha. It's moist. Since it's moist, even Biyad, you cannot take it off. For this Amora, even Biyad, you can't take it off. It's moist. And our Mishnah even when it's dried out, you can't take it off of the kli. It gives you an understanding of the extreme, meaning that even the yevesha, you can't take it off of the kli. And we have the Mishnah Pesachim that says, even belacha, you can't take it off.
Might not be directly on topic. Doesn't make it off.
It's pasul with a yabelet. If you take it off and the wound can heal, then it's not a balmum. I mean, there's certain qualifications of what's considered a mum. If it scabs over, it's probably fine. It might not even be a mum. A mum has to be in certain locations. There are certain qualifications. Gemara has a korot as what the wound must look like in order to be a mum. Assuming that won't qualify, and the getting rid of the abelet makes it kosher to go on the mizbeach. Those are the two assumptions here. Alright, so now the Gemara says, according to the one who says, the difference here, like Fred said, was the difference between a yad and a kli, our Mishnah being biyad, the Mishnah Pesachim being with the kli, my time alo amar habilacha habivesha. How come he didn't take the other route of differentiating between being moist and being dry? Amar lacha, yivesha afilu bikli, na mishori. Which was what I mentioned before, that opinion has a difficulty with this issue, which is he sets up our Mishnah as being yivesha, as being a dried out wart. That means he allows it biyad, but that means he restricts it bikli. Why should it be restricted bikli? My time ifrucha ifrucha. What's wrong with even taking off with the kli? All he's simply doing is crumbling. It's crumbling. It's not cutting. It's just scraping off or crumbling the wart that's there because it's dried out. According to the one who says that it's a difference between moist and dried out, my time alo amar habiyad v'habikli. How come he didn't take the other option of yad and kli? Amar lecha bikli. He says, wait, you're saying it's bikli? Hatnan. In bikli, kan v'kan asur. It says already that in bikli, that it's kan v'kan asur. So why do I need the Mishnah in Pesachim to come along and say all of a sudden that it's asur? Our Mishnah already says that we're talking about a kli, that it's asur. So what is the addition or what is the value of having her tell us that the kli is asur? That's information that we already know from the Mishnah. Why do we have in two places now? Our Mishnah telling us that Kli is Asur, and in Pesachim telling us that it's Asur. So I have the same information in two places, it seems extraneous. V'idach, and the other party says, Haktani hotam, mishum dekabai, ifluge, Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan. So the other party says, the reason that the Mishnah in Pesachim, they bring it down, even though you're right, it's unnecessary. Our Mishnah says it explicitly that in Bikli Asur, yet it still brings it in Pesachim to tell you Kli is Asur. So why did I set it up that way? Because I brought it an extra time to show you the position of Rabbi Eliezer versus the Chachamim. It's trying to show you that even though the Chachamim say it's problematic, Rabbi Eliezer says that it is okay. Because Rabbi Eliezer, Shitato, says Machshirei Mitzvah are Mutarim. So that's why I brought it down, even though it's extraneous or unnecessary because it's twice written. But we need it in Pesachim because of the other factors that are in that context, which is the Machloket, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. Vidach, now the other party says, Dumya de kivo vebeto michutz l'chutum tkani. Wait a minute, let's think about the case here. If you think that we're talking about a knife, and that's the problem we are in the knife of cutting it off, which is haba haba lacha, both of them are cases where it is moist, that means that we're talking about an Isur d'oraita in Pesachim. Now let's look at the context of the remainder of what's brought there in the Mishnah, in Pesachim. If you look at the remainder of what's brought there, it says, Hirkivo. He put it on his shoulders and brought it in. Veveto michutz l'tchum, or he brought it from outside the tchum. Both of those involved Isurei d'Rabbanan. Why the Isurei d'Rabbanan? Tchum is only an Isur d'Rabbanan. Bring it michutz l'tchum, you're only in violation of an Isur d'Rabbanan. Putting the animal on your shoulders and carrying it in, also only an Isur d'Rabbanan because of Chai noseh tatzmo. That a live being usually helps to carry itself, and therefore we're only dealing with the Isur d'Rabbanan. So now what you have there in Pesachim is, according to you, when you're explaining it as Kli versus our Mishnah being Yad, that means that you say there are three items that are mentioned in that context in Pesachim. There's Chutz L'Tchum, bringing it on your shoulders, and taking off a Yabelet. Two of them are d'Rabbanan, and then you're suggesting the third one is d'Oraita. Why would you have that? It just doesn't make sense to set up the context that way and say that I have two Drabanans and one Doraita. It makes sense that they're all Drabanans or they're all Doraita. And so that's why I don't think you're right about setting it up. Vidach, the other one says, no, we can make them all into Dine Doraita. Hirkivo, Doloki Rabbi Natan. Hirkivo is based on the position that argues on Rabbi Natan. Damar Chai Noseh Tatzmo. There is the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Natan, who say that we don't say chayin oseh tatzmo. The Gemara narrows the machloket down only to certain instances or certain circumstances, but nevertheless, there are opinions who disagree with Rabbi Natan, and that in Psachim will be referring to those deot that we don't say chai no se etatzmo, and therefore you have an Isser Doraita in caring. Haveto michutz l'tchum, bringing it out from outside the tchum, ki Rabbi Akiva. That's the shita of Rabbi Akiva, the tchumim deoraita. So now I've made it consistent. Now I have three problems deoraita in Psachim. I have a problem of chutz l'tchum according to Rabbi Akiva. I have a problem of carrying the chai according to those that argue on Rabbi Natan. And then I have chatichat yabelet ayidei kli. Three problems deoraita. Now I have a consistent presentation in Psachim and I can deal with it. So at first we thought maybe it's a better proof to the one who says that we're only dealing with isurei derabanan. And that would fit the context because we're dealing with other isurei derabanan. We say no, we can even set up the case in Psachim as being all problems deoraita, just following other opinions who don't think that these are issues derabanan, but issues deoraita. Okay, meitiv Rabbi Yosef. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. This is the position of Rabbi Eliezer who argues on the Chachamim in Psachim. Kal v'chomer. This is my position. Mashchita. Shehi mishum malacha docha et haShabbat. Shchita, which is a full-fledged malacha d'oraita. Nevertheless, it's docha et haShabbat. Elu mishum shvut, enu din sheyidchu et haShabbat. These other items that are only dinei derabanan should certainly be docha et haShabbat. So he's very clear here that how Rabbi Eliezer views what's going on in Psachim. He says, I have a din d'oraita of shchita, which everybody agrees is docha et haShabbat when it comes to Korban Pesach. You can do shchita on Shabbat. Then I have these other issues that are stopping me from bringing my Korban Pesach. Those issues are all Durabanan issues. Certainly we should be able to waive Durabanan issues if we're waiving Doraita issues already. But from the way that Rabbi Eliezer frames the question, it's clear that he believes that all the problems over there are only problems Dirabanan. If they're problems Dirabanan, then to suggest that in Psachim it's a Kli that's cutting, Kli that's cutting is a problem Deoraita. So now, how could Rabbi Eliezer be saying, I'm only talking about Durabanan problems? We're talking about a Doraita problem if you set up the case there in Psachim as it being a problem with Kli. If you set it up as the other opinion does, that it's a difference between lacha and yevesha, whether it's moist and it's dried out, and both of them are biyad, then it's a question of derabanans. We're talking about a derabanan, and in one case we said no, in one case we say yes. Now you ask me, how could it be? We always say by shvut b'migdash we waive all derabanans. Tosafot over here again says that if we're dealing with achilochi asrinim bikli b'gishovivut gadolu. It's a big shvut. When it's a big shvut, we don't allow it. So you have to say that again, that when we have a big shvut, we don't allow things like that in the Migdash. So that'll go both for Kli on a dry yabelet, and that'll also apply maybe to here, Lacha, when we're dealing with it, Lacha Biyad, according to that opinion. So even though we'll be Gozer B'Migdash, we'll see in a second, maybe it isn't in the Migdash, and that may be part of the problem. Elam Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, the solutions that we've seen so far don't make sense. But rather, Habah Biyad. The difference here is habi habi yad. Everybody agrees we're talking about yad over here. But rather than differentiating between lacha and yevesha, shvut migdash b'migdash itiru, shvut migdash b'medina lo itiru. Difference is location. When we have a shvut in the migdash, we said we waive a isur derabanan in the migdash. But that's true when you're doing it for kodesh in the migdash. There, we waive yabelet. But if you're doing shvut migdash, which is you're doing it for kodesh, but it's outside the migdash, there we're not going to waive it. So the difference will be here, we're speaking about a korban in the Migdash. Korban HaTamid, korban Musafim. They have the animals prepared, they check them over, and they see a belet. They pop off the belet in the Migdash, that's fine. That's for Kodesh in the Migdash. By the korban HaPesach, everybody brings their korban from their house. They're not in the Migdash, they're at home. They bring it to the Migdash, they're bringing it as the korban ready to go. So now when he pops off the belt, yes, it's Kodesh, because it was Makdishit for Korban HaPesach, but it's not in the Migdash, it's in the Medina. It's outside of the Migdash. So that's Rav Yosef's differentiation. The Psachim case is a case, why can't you do it? Because you're in the Medina. The case here, you can do it because you're in the Migdash. Yotev Abayi v'kamer l'hashmaito. He was saying over Abayi, a Talmid of Rav Yosef, is saying over what his Rebbe Rav Yosef said. Eid ve'rav safra l'Abayi. Asafa challenges what he hears from Abaye, which Abaye was saying over from his Rebbe Rav Yosef. Hayaku Rebbe Sefer Aliskopa. This is our case here, we just did before, which is reading a Sefer on the threshold. Binit Galgala Sefer Miyado. And it rolls away from him. Go low at slow. As long as he has one part of it still in his hand, he can roll it back to him. Vahacha de Shvut de Migdash Bimedinahu. First of all, what you see here very clearly is, what does Shvut de Migdash mean? Shvut de Migdash doesn't just mean things that have to do with the Migdash, But Shvut the Mikdash means anything that's Kodesh. So over here, a Kodesh means that we're talking about a Sefer Kodesh, Sifrei Kodesh. So he says, we have a Shvut the Mikdash, we have a Shvut of Kodesh, Bimidinahu. It's a case where you're outside, Velo Gazrinan, and we're not Gozer, Dilman Nafil Va'atili Etuye. We don't worry about it, maybe it would have fallen out of his hands, and then he'll bring it from Rishut Rabim back into the Rishut Yachid. So despite the fact that in normal circumstances, we would say there's an Isur Rabbanan. If you have one end of something in your hand, and it rolls out to the Rishut Rabim, we won't let you roll that back into Rishut Yachid, because we're afraid then you'll carry it from Rishut Rabim into Rishut Yachid. Nevertheless, for Sifrei Kodesh, we're giving you a dispensation to roll it back in. So we're waiving an Isur Rabbanan for Sifrei Kodesh, and that's out of the Medina. So he says back to him, Velo Kimna Biskopa Karmelit. Wait a minute, we already dealt with this. The Iskopa here is not an Iskopa at Rishut Yachid. It's not a threshold that's Rishut Yachid. We already established that the Iskopa here is an Iskopa at Karmelit. Vir Rishut Rabim Overit Lifaneha. And then you have Rishut Rabim bring in front of it. Dekevin Igudo Biyodo. Since he has it in hand, Afil Shuut Namileka. There's not even Isur Durabanan. You're really dealing with a Durabanan, Durabanan. From Rishut Rabim to Karmelit is an Isur Durabanan. Having an item in your hand and rolling it back is also only an Isur Durabanan. So now you're dealing with a double Durabanan. In that case, we're not Gozer. That's like Gzeira L'Gzeira. To say, oh, because he's in a Karmelit and we're afraid of moving in from Rishut Rabim because he's holding it in hand, just bringing it to the Karmelit itself is already just an Isur Durabanan. On top of that, you're going to be Gozer. Maybe if he has it in hand, he might drop it out and then bring it in. That Gzeira L'Gzeira, there is no Durabanan over here. We're not waiving any Durabanan. It doesn't exist because you're dealing with a double Durabanan. So he says, no proof from there. Tosfot says, why don't they just bring proof from? Fill in. The beginning of the Perek, we had this, that when you're outside, you find tefillin out in the field, kruchot, or you find them bundled up, we said that you're allowed to bring them, pachot pochot midalat amot. Pachot pochot midalat amot is an Isur Durabanan. And there you have Davar Kodesh, Bimedina, and we're waving an Isur Durabanan. That's the better question over here. So he says, V'yishlamar, Deshvut ki ay gavna v'adai shmutalim b'bizayon hitiru. That's obvious. Like a shvut like that, we're going to wave because it's bizayon. Bizayon tefillin, it's so obvious that we're going to bring it in that there's no question about it. But over here, by the case of the abelet, we're not going to wave an Isur Durabanan for you when you're out in the Medina. So Rav Yosef's distinction is a difference between Medina and Mikdash. Eitavei, is that really true? Mishal shalina et ha-pesach litanur. One can lower the Pesach into the furnace im chashecha as it goes dark. So now, what you're not allowed to do is cook on Shabbat. Because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbat, we also restrict you from cooking going into Shabbat. One may not leave items on the fire going into Shabbat, because we are afraid if you leave them on the fire going into Shabbat, Shema yichateh b'kalim. Maybe you'll stoke the coals in order to accelerate the cooking so that you have the item. We have all sorts of exceptions if it's mevushal kol tzorcho, if it's already fully cooked, or if it's completely raw, where it's misiach dat from it. There are ways to get around this, or garuf v'katum. We discuss those all in Shabbat. In general, there is this restriction against putting something on a fire going into Shabbat. That is waived when it comes to the Korban HaPesach. When they put the Korban HaPesach going in, we don't worry about it. You can put the Korban HaPesach into the fire to cook on your way into Shabbat. And even though it would normally be restricted and we would normally worry about Mechateh B'Gichalim. When you cook your Pesach, you're cooking it in Dina. Where do you cook your Korban HaPesach? You cook it in Yerushalayim, wherever you're going to eat. So you're cooking all your Pesachim out in Yerushalayim. You're not in the Mikdash. And yet here we're waving an Isur Durabanan to allow you to cook the, or to really roast the Korban HaPesach. So we see that we have a Shvut the Mikdash, which is a Kodesh, out in the Medina, and we're waving it. So there you're literally Mechashek, V'alhocha the Shvut the Mikdash Medina, V'lo Gazvina, Shemi Yichateh B'Khalim. And we wave this Gzeira the Rabbanan of Shemi Yichateh B'Khalim for cooking the Korban HaPesach. Ishtik. He had no answer for him. On Friday, Erev Pesach and Erev Shabbat were the same. So then they shechted the Korban HaPesach and Erev Pesach on Erev Shabbat, and they need to cook it, but they're not allowed to cook it on Shabbat itself, or roast it going into Shabbat. So they put it on the fire going into Shabbat. They're going to eat it that night, which is Friday night, but they can't cook it. So they have to put it on the fire before Shabbat enters. So then we have this dispensation that even though normally you couldn't put something onto the fire going into Shabbat like this, nevertheless, we allow you by the Korban HaPesach to do this. So there is Shvut HaMikdash B'Medina. So Abai Ishtik, yeah, no answer. So if you know the Gemara in Shabbat, and the first parak in Shabbat, there the Gemara already discusses why it might be permissible in this case. So that is, Ki'ata l'kamei de Rabbi Yosef, Abai comes back to his Rebbe Rabbi Yosef, Rav Safra, he tells him over the whole story about Rav Safra, the question that Rav Safra posed to Abaye based on Rav Yosef's distinction over here. So Amalei, my time alone to Shanalei, why don't you answer him, B'nei Chaburaz Rizinme? Why don't you answer him that which is brought in the Gemara in Shabbat, and we see in other places that B'nei Chaburaz Rizinme. Now the way I would have interpreted B'nei Chaburaz Rizinme, there are a lot of people there. You have a lot of people together, and each one will remind the other not to make that mistake. There is sometimes a diffusion of responsibility, but over here, this is not the issue. The issue is that they're engaged in cooking it. And here it's a question, not a question if it will get cooked. It's a question of, will somebody stoke the fire? Here we have a lot of people around. There are a lot of mifakhim. There's a lot of supervisors. And so there's so many supervisors that they're going to prevent anybody from doing what's wrong. Everybody remind the other one that not to do it, not to be chayichateh b'gichalim. You're not on your own where you're going to lose yourself and shema yichateh b'gichalim. So because of that, we don't worry about it. That's the way I would have stated it. And there are, if you go to the Gemara and Shabbat, that's the way most of the Rishonim explain it. Over here, Rashi says something very interesting. He says, what does that mean that the Bnei Chabura is Rizim Heim? He says, Hanimnim, it's Bnei Chabura and Rashi, Hanimnim al Pesach Rizim Heim. The Chol Oskim b'Kod Hashim Rizim v'Chachamim. Anybody who's Osek in Kod Hashim is a Zariz and a Chacham. Which is a big assumption since everybody is doing the Korban of Pesach right now. But the assumption being we have some rules like this. We're going to see that in the Gemara Chagiga. That when it comes to the Regalim, everybody becomes a Chaver. We have certain times of the year where we elevate the status of every individual to the point where they gain extra status. Either because of the fear of the Regal, the fear of Shabbat, or people in a certain time period act more religious. We know that. When it comes to Yom Tov, comes to Shabbat, people act differently than they do outside of those contexts. So maybe because you're in the context of Kodashim, the people that get involved are the people who are the Chachamim and Zrizim. Those others stand back. But because of that, we say that the Chachamim and Zrizim here, that's why there is a dispensation, a special dispensation here, which might be the same reason why there's a Shvut B'Mikdash is waived. Why is Shvut B'Mikdash waived? That, we'll see in 1 second. Ve'abaye, Kohanim Zrizim Ein Amrinan. The reason that we say the Shvut B'Mikdash is waived might be because of this thing of Kohanim Zrizim Ein. Since Kohanim's Rizim Heim, we don't worry. Most of the Gzerot Rabbanan are Otu. We're afraid if you do this, it'll lead to something that's Deoraita. Since Kohanim's Rizim Heim, therefore, we don't worry about that problem because they're well engaged, they're Chachamim, they understand what's going on. They're not going to make that leap. That's one possibility of how to explain why the Sirei Rabbanan are waived in the Mikdash. So therefore, if Kohanim's Rizim Heim, we can extrapolate that to Bnei Chabura's Rizim Heim, and it might have the same application. On the other hand, the reason that Shvut could be waived in the Mikdash might have to do with something else, which is either Makom, because the Makom is Kadosh, and because of the elevated Kedusha, people won't make mistakes there. People are very careful. Not because Kohanim's Rizim, but just because of the Makom HaMikdash does that, or the other possibility is that the Sanhedrin sits in the Mikdash. So there are more halacha in the context of the Mikdash, and because of that, you waive it. But over here, we see that the focus is on this Rizut aspect. So Abaye says, we do say Kohanim Zrizim Heim, B'nei Chaburah Zrizim Heim, Lo Amrina. But I don't subscribe to this B'nei Chaburah Zrizim Heim, it only applies to Kohanim. So for Abaye, maybe it's a mix of both. You need both Kohanim Zrizim Heim, and you need context of Dusha, of the Mikdash. Together, that waves it. But B'nei Chaburah Zrizim Heim by itself, either he thinks there's no such concept, or maybe if there is a concept, maybe it's not in the Mikdash. And maybe that's why we don't wave the Shvut over there. But for that's why Abaye did not respond to Rav Safra, as opposed to Rav Yosef, his Rebbe, who has an answer for Rav Safra. Rav Amar. Rav now offers another alternative. So far we have three alternatives as how to explain the difference between our Mishnah and that which is in Psachim. Now we have another alternative, which is Rav Amar. Rav Eliezer hi. Damar, makshiri mitzvah dochin et Shabbat. Our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer. No problem. So both of the cases, Rav said, ha ha biyad. They're both biyad, v'ha b'ha b'locha. And they're both to the case where it is moist. Biyad and moist. So why does, in Psachim, do they say it's Asur? Because that's the sheet of the Rabbanon. We saw already in Psachim that Rabbi Eliezer Omer Duchin, that it is Duchin. Our Mishnah, authored by Rabbi Eliezer. If it's authored by Rabbi Eliezer, now I understand why you could be Chotech Yabelet, Biyad, Alacha, even on Shabbat. Umode Rabbi Eliezer, Tekam De'efshar Lishnuyei Mishaninan. So now, if it's Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer gives wholesale Heter. He says that if you have to do something for Hefshe Mitzvah, you can even do it B'Kli. Why over here all of a sudden is he saying it to Biyad? Biyad, he doesn't need Biyad. He could just do it B'Kli. He says, Akshiri Mitzvah Adochin et Shabbat. What you see here, according to Rava, is that Rabbi Eliezer does not believe Hutra by Akshiri Mitzvah, but rather just Dechuya. Dechuya means that we suspend it where it's necessary. It's not like there is no Isur by Akshiri Mitzvah. Now it's interesting because it might turn out to be in Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to things that are the mitzvah themselves, they might be hutra. But when it comes to Hekshari mitzvah, they might be only dechuya, which make it interesting within his opinion that when it comes to a mitzvah itself, there is a different standard. Over there we say, do whatever you have to do by the mitzvah itself because that's doche Shabbat the gamre. It's hutra by the gabe Shabbat. On the other hand, when it comes to Hekshari mitzvah, it's only dechuya, which is that we only allow you to do minimum amount that you need to do to get by. That's what he's saying over here. According to Moder Rabbi Eliezer, come after the Shnuyeh Mishanin. And if I have a choice between Kli and Yad, and I can accomplish the same thing B'Yad, do it B'Yad. And that's why we tell you to do it B'Yad and not B'Kli. So Mahi, how do I know that Rabbi Eliezer tells us that when you have a choice to be Mishanet, when you have a chance to make a Shinoi, that we do make a Shinoi? D'Tanya, Koen, Sha'alta Bo Yabelet. So now this is, David, what you were asking before. Until now, we were talking about a Yabelet on an animal. It happens to be that a Yabelet is also a moon for a Kohen. They're both. It's a moon by a Kohen and moon by a Korban as well. So now we're moving on to Kohen himself. Kohen, Sha'altabo Yabelet. He has a Yabelet on him, which we postal him for Avoda. Chavero, Chodcha, Lo Bishinav. His friend can bite it off of him. So the Gemara says, Bishinavin, Bikli Lo. He can do it with his teeth, but he cannot do it Bikli. Chaveru in, ihu lo. His friend can do it, but he can't do it for himself. So you have two shinuim here. Number one shinui is you can't do it for yourself, only someone else can do it. Number two shinui is that you have to do it be shinayim, you have to do it with your teeth, and not with a kli. So mani, who's the author of this? Who's the author of this braita? Ilei marabonon, if it's the rabbanon ubemigdash, if it's the rabbanon, we're talking about in the migdash, kevin damri rabbanon ba'alma mishum shvut. If the Rabbanan believe elsewhere that this is a problem of Shvut, Hacha Malihu, Mali Chaveru, then why does it make a difference if it's him or it's his friend? I'll explain this in one second. I'm going to come back and explain this. El Olav, Rabbi Eliezer, he. Must be this is Rabbi Eliezer. Damar, Ba'alma Chayev Chatat. That in general you are Chayev Chatat. Hacha Afa Gav de Makshire Mitzvah Dochinet Shabbat. Even though here that it's Makshire Mitzvah, which are Doche the Shabbat, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Kam Devshal Shnuye Mishaninan. As much as we can change, we change. So this we have proof to Rabbi's position that wherever we have the option or the ability to do a shinoi within the position of Rabbi Eliezer by Hekshari Mitzvah, we opt for that. Now the Gemara here embedded in this Gemara is another machloke between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. We're discussing one machloke between them, which is Hekshari Mitzvah. The Rabbanan say Hekshari Mitzvah are not Dochet to Shabbat, whereas Rabbi Eliezer believes Hekshari Mitzvah are also Dochet to Shabbat. They're also hinting to another machloka between them, which has to do with cutting nails on Shabbat. Can you cut your nails on Shabbat? The answer is obviously no. Why not? Now, to cut them with a kli, to cut them with a utensil, is an isur de'oraita. But what happens if someone picks off their nails, whether they bite them off with their teeth, or they pick them off with their hand? Is that a problem? Machloket ne'mishnah in Shabbat, the Rabbanan say that's an isur de'rabanan. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says it's an iser deoraita. That when you pick it off with your hand, it's still an iser deoraita. And that's what the Gemara was hinting to over here. The Gemara says, wait, is it the Rabbanon who authored that braita? Well, if it's the Rabbanon that authored the braita who think that taking off one's nails is only an iser derabanan, then why does Malihu, Mali Chaveiro, why does it make a difference if he does it or his friend does it? You're still in violation of an iser derabanan. If you're an Isur Rabbanan, why does it matter if it's you or someone else? It's the same Isur Rabbanan. Whereas, for Rabbi Eliezer, it makes a difference. For Rabbi Eliezer, if you do it, it's an Isur D'Oraita. If your friend does it for you, then it's an Isur Rabbanan. If your friend bites off your nails, or your friend peels off your nails, that's already considered to be a Shinoi, and that's already only a Shvut. But when you do it, that's an Isur D'Oraita. So now, I understand why Rabbi Eliezer over here would suggest that you should be Mishaneh, because if you do it, you'll be Makshiri Mitzvah. Okay, it's Doche Shabbat, but you have to get over an Isur D'Oraita then. If your friend does it, then it's only an Isur D'Rabbanan. And that's what Rabbi is suggesting over here, that Rabbi Eliezer would prefer that you minimize the Isurim here, even when we're dealing with the Makshiri Mitzvah that are Dochim at the Shabbat. So better off to have your friend do it and bring it down to an Isur D'Rabbanan versus you do it and having an Isur D'Oraita. For the Rabbanan, it's a Rabbanan either way. It's a Rabbanan for you, it's a Rabbanan for your friend. Why do we care who does it then? Better off you do it. Why do you have your friend do it? So therefore, the Gemara concluded that Rabbi Eliezer must be the author of this braita. For the Rabbanan, they're indifferent between you and your friend. So now the Gemara says, look, don't bring a proof from here. That, it's a practical problem. The Olam Rabbanan. It is a Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan say his friend should do it for him? Practical issue. The alta bekreiso hachanami. Had the wart shown up on his belly or his front, that wouldn't have a problem. We'd tell him to do it. Peel it off with your fingers. Bite it off yourself. We're talking about a case where it's on his back, or it's in the back of his arms, where he can't reach it. He personally can't do it himself. So now the Gemara says, okay, I understand now. Let him take it off. Why is he biting it off? For the Rabbanan, taking off your nails and biting your nails are all the same. They're an Isur Rabbanan. So why are we forcing him to take it off with the teeth versus taking it off with your hand? Now we explain why his friend is doing it, because he can't reach it. But when we ask his friend to do it, why not just have his friend pop it off with his hands? Why does he have to bite it off? Biting it off is no less an Isur than taking it off with your hand. But both of them are a shinoi for the Rabbanan. They're both a shinoi. Taking it off with your fingers or taking it off with your teeth are the same thing. They're both a shinoi. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'tifshot de Rabbi Lazar. If that's the case, we can answer Rabbi Lazar's question. Tam Rabbi Lazar, machlok biyad. That with machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer with regards to peeling off nails is biyad. So then I could have answered the question that maybe that's not true. Maybe the Rabbanan don't agree. Maybe they think biyad is also a problem, deoraita. Because over here you're saying do it with your teeth, not with your hand. Which would imply that doing it with your hand is problematic. So the Gemara says, okay, they turn it back on. They say, okay, litamech. Let's assume that you're right. And the author of this braita is the Rabbi Eliezer Nami. It's Rabbi Eliezer. Lishkaleni ale biyad. According to Rabbi Eliezer himself, why are you taking off with your teeth? Take it off biyad. Fine, his friend is doing it, so now you have a shinoi. Why does he have to take it off his shinayim? Let him take it off biyad. Says, hi, mai. That's not comparable. Iyamar bishlamo Rabbi Eliezer. If it's Rabbi Eliezer, hainu de gazer yad atukli. I understand then why he would be gozer yad atukli. Because he's gozer biyad, and maybe that you'll come to do with the kli. If it's a rabbanan, nishkalei ne'e biyad. He can take it off biyad, v'tulo mide. And then there's no question over here. Why? Because by Rabbi Eliezer, by machshirei mitzvah, that we're talking about the difference between a shvut and an isur d'oraita, then it's all heter. So now, why do we force you to do a bishinoi instead of doing a bikli? Is because the hechade shaninat, in order to make a differential here, to go from d'oraita down to rabbanan. So we'd rather you do a shvut de rabbanan than do an av milacha. So too, we'd rather take a shvut chamura and drop it down to a shvut kala. So since, if you talk about gradations of taking something off, I would say kli is the worst, that's an av milacha. Yad is a shinoi, but it's something that you could mix up with kli. Shinayim is way away. It's like a double shinoi almost. It's so far away. So in that case, if I'm already Rabbi Eliezer and I'm encouraging you to do a shinoi, then I'm going to try to encourage you to do the most shinoi possible to minimize the isur down to the furthest possible demarcation within that line. I'm not going to let you do kli, even though machshirei mitzvah are doche d'oraita. I prefer you don't do kli. Even though they're doche d'rabbanan, I prefer you don't do yad. So I do shinayim because that's the furthest away. Again, this idea of dechuya, and if it's only dechuya, we push you to the least isur. So for Rabbi Eliezer, I can explain why we push you to shinayim instead of yad. For the chachamim, shirei mitzvah are not dochim et ha-shabbat. So they're never doche d'oraita. So if they're not doche d'oraita, we're not afraid of you getting to a din d'oraita. The only thing that we're waving over here are dinei d'rabbanan. So once we're only waving dinei d'rabbanan and saying there's no din d'rabbanan, why does it matter if it's shinayim or yad? You're not going to mix it up with kli, because kli is never mutar according to the chachamim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, kli could be mutar here. And so we don't want you to do it the yad, because you might do it the kli. But for chachamim, kli is out of the picture. It's not even within the realm of possibility. And so for them, shinayim and yad, why would you differentiate? It doesn't seem to make sense. V'tulo mide, the Gemara says you have nothing else to answer, which means that this bright is clearly Rabbi Eliezer is the author of it. And therefore he requires shinoi. And that's Rava's proof, that Rabbi Lezer and Machshirei Mitzvah seeks to minimize the Isur. And that's how he answers the difference between our Mishnah and then Psachim, which is that even though, yes, Biyad is Mutar, Bikli is Mutar, so why does our Mishnah say Biyad and not Bikli? Because it's Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Lezer, even though he would be Matar Bikli, but since there's an option to do Biyad, we'd rather you do Biyad and not Bikli. Correct. You have to do a maximum machinery because Machshirei Mitzvah are only what we call Dechuya. They only allow you to be Doche Shabbat, not to be Matir Shabbat. Okay, so therefore, just in conclusion, we have four ways to explain the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah of Psachim. The Mishnah over here says, Yabelet is mutar to take off. Psachim says, Yabelet is asur to take off. One answer, that was Fred's answer, which was the difference between Yad and Kli. Our Mishnah is talking about Biyad, the Mishnah of Psachim is talking about Kli. We saw the problems with that option, which is then, why does our Mishnah discuss Kli here? Why does the Mishnah and Psachim also discuss Kli? In addition to that, we also raise the issue, which is if it's Bikli, we're dealing with Isur Doraita, and the remainder of the items mentioned in Psachim are only Isurei Derabanan. So we answered it first, but then Rav Yosef brought a statement from Belezer, which seems to be definitive, that we're talking about Isurei Derabanan over there, and that creates the problem. The second possible answer that we had was the difference between Lacha and Yevesha. The difference between moist and dried out. Our Mishnah is talking about a Yevesha, and despite the fact that it's Yevesha, we don't allow you to do with a Kli. We don't let you do the Kli, even though it's a Shvut, because it's Shvut Gadol, as Tosfot says. The other opinion says, why can't you cut it off with a knife? That's Ifuchei Mifrach. That's just simply crumpling it, or just pushing it off. You're not doing any real Melacha. Mishnah Psachim is talking about a Lacha, and Lacha is a problem, and that's why you can't do it in Psachim. That's the second answer we saw. The answer of Yosef is, we're talking about a Shvut to Mikdash, which means Shvut in Kodesh, but it depends on the location. If it's in the Mikdash, it's waived. If it's outside of the Mikdash, it's not waived. Psachim is outside the Mikdash, we do not waive it. Inside the Mikdash, which is our Mishnah, there we do waive it. We had questions on that from the rolled Megillah, and we had questions on that from the Psachim. Rav Yosef answered that and said, Psachim also has the same dispensation, which is Bnei Chabura Zrizimhim, just like we have that in the Mikdash, which is Konim Zrizimhim. Rava is the last attempt at an answer to reconcile between them. He says, Haba Haba Yad, they're both done Biyad. Haba Haba Locha, they're both done, we're talking about a moist case. How come the case of Psachim says it's Asur? That's the Shita of the Rabbanon. Rabbi Lezer over there says it's Mutar. So Rabbi Lezer is the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer is the author of our Mishnah. He waives all Makhshirei Mitzvah. So why can't you do a Kli as well? The answer is, Hokamadim Meshaninan, any opportunity, the maximum that you can do a Shinoi here, we're going to ask you to do a Shinoi. And therefore, the Bayad's Mutar, the Kli is Asur. Okay, next Mishnah. Kohen Shalaka Be'etzbo. Kohen who gets a wound on his finger. Korech Ale Gemi B'Mikdash. He's allowed to put a reed around it in the Mikdash. Avalo b'medina. But he can't do that outside of the Mikdash. Imlo tzidam, kan v'kan v'asur. If it's coming to squeeze out blood, which is chavala or chabura on Shabbat, which is an av malacha, there it is completely asur, asur both in the Mikdash and the Medina, because you're dealing with an Isur de'oraita. Only when you're dealing with an Isur de'rabanan do we allow this. So now, why is he doing this? We allow you to do this, even though the gemi is mirapet amakeh, even though it's medicinal in nature, which should be asur on Shabbat. Nevertheless, we allow you to do this. It's sorech avodahu. It's a necessity for avodah. Delav orach ara shetireh makato im avodah. It's not proper for Kohen to approach the avodah with a exposed wound. So we want to cover over the wounds. We put on gemi to cover it over so that the wound is not exposed. It's just etiquette. It's a proper way to approach the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we're going to waive an Isur Derabanan here because we're in the Mikdash. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rabbi Chiya, Loshanu Elegemi. We only allow you to put on a reed on there. Aval Tzilzul Katan. What happens if you have a small bandage that you put on there? We don't allow you to do that because have a Yitur Bigadim. Because that would become extraneous clothing for the Kohen. Kohen Hejot only is allowed to wear 4 pieces of clothing. Kohen Gadol wears 8 pieces of clothing. No more, no less. If you put on the bandage, you put it on with cloth, then you're putting on an extra beged, and that's a problem. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, Lo amru yitur begadim o makom begadim. Yitur begadim only applies if it's in the place where you normally wear begadim. It's on the end of your finger, you don't wear a beged, that's not one of the big dekun over there. So that's not called extraneous begadim. Shalom makom begadim, lo avi yitur begadim. If it's not there, it wouldn't be a problem. So now, but typically, mishum chatzitza. Then, exactly what Fred just asked, wait a minute, if that's the case, why can't you wear gloves? The answer is that you have a problem with chatzitza. Well, if there's a problem with chatzitza, then why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say it? Fine, there's no yitur begadim here. But why isn't there a problem of chatzitza? So bismol, it was on his left hand. You can only do avodah with your right hand. But might be pasul the gam, right, to do avodah. A lefty kohen might be pasul the gam, right? Whether it's any left-handed kohen is automatically pasul. Or a left-handed Kohen can do the avodah with his right hand. But in general, a Kohen lefty is out. No southpaw Kohen. Inami b'yamin uchlo makom avodah. Or it can be on his right hand, but in a place that doesn't affect the avodah. For instance, the back of his hand. On the top of your hand, where it doesn't touch the karbanot, then you don't have a chatzitza. B'pligid de Rava. And this argues on Rava. Tamar Rav Amar Rav Chista b'makom b'gadim. When it's in the place of b'gadim, afilu nima achat chutzetzet. Even a single string causes a chatzitza. Shalom b'makom b'gadim. When it's not in makom b'gadim, shalosh al shalosh chutzetzet. Then if it's 3x3, it's chutzetz. Pachom mishlosh shlosh eino chutzetz. Less than 3x3. Yeah, so shalosh, because it's in the female conjugation here, there's only two choices. It's either 3x3 amot, which is clearly not the case here, or shlosh by shlosh etzbaot, which is three finger breasts worth. So it's 3x3, which is the minimum amount to be considered a beged. So shlosh or shlosh etzbaot will be chotzetzet. So now we have here a ad Rabbi Yochanan vaday pliga. It's for sure that Rava's statement here argues on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan before said we don't have a problem of itur begadim, but we do have an issue of chatzitza. How do I solve the problem of chatzitza? Say it's on the left hand, it's on the back of the right hand, so there's no problem with chatzitza. But that clearly argues on Rav, or Rav argues on that, because Rav says it's only a chatzitza when, in the makom begadim, even a single string. Shalom makom begadim, you need 3x3 etzbaot. Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer that. He could have answered 3x3 etzbaot. He doesn't answer that. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't answer that seems that he doesn't have that minimum standard. So it's clear that they argue about what's considered to be a chatzitza over here. For Rabbi Yochanan, it's a chatzitza even with the smallest amount. Whereas for Rava, you need at least 3x3 etzbaot when you're not b'makom b'gadim. Now the reason by makom b'gadim it's more problematic is because it has to be al b'saro. The beged has to be, the big kohen has to be directly on the skin of the kohen. There can't be anything that's mafsik between them. So then even a string being mafsik between them is problematic. Outside of that, then a chatzitza has to be more significant, which is the chatzitza is only when it's 3x3 etzbaot, when it really becomes a beged in a sense. So he definitely argues on Rabbi Yochanan. It's not necessarily true that he argues on Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbi Chia. Even though Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbi Chia says, Lo shanu ela gemi. You're only allowed to put on a gemi. But tziltzul katan would be a yitur begadim. This tziltzul, even though it's less than 3x3 etzbaot, it would still be a problem. That sounds like he argues on Rava as well. Because Rava says 3x3 minimum. We don't see that in Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbi Chia. So Gemara says, we can reconcile those two because shiny tziltzul katan, the choshiv. So this is something we saw before, this idea of achshavei. That you can grant something significance, even though it's below the minimum shiur, because it's either so significant, or because of its nature, or because of the way that you interact with it, therefore grants it additional significance. So even though tziltzul katan is below 3x3 etzbaot, but since it's a cover, it's a something that wraps around the wound, and is something significant to you, it's as if it has 3x3 etzbaot. So even though it's below, so that's how we can reconcile Rava with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia. The Gemara is trying to minimize the amount of machloket we have here with Rava's statement. So Rava and Rabbi Yochanan clearly cannot be reconciled. But Rava with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia, there we could reconcile them because we can come up with a way to establish that tziltzul katan, even though it's less than 3x3 etzbaot, looks like 3x3 etzbaot. Lishna achrina. There's a different lashon here which presents this in a different way, which is Amri La. Amri Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia, lo shanu ela gemi. It's only true by gemi, about tziltzul katan chutzetz. When it comes to a small tziltzul, it's chotzeitz. Now, you see the difference here between this lashon and the previous lashon is over here he uses the word chotzeitz, and before he used the lashon yitur bigadim. Rashi says that's not relevant. He says over here when he means chotzeitz, he means yitur bigadim. So why does he where they use the word chotzeitz? Because of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to talk in a different language now, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia is also brought in the language of chotzitza. The problem for Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia when he says chotzeitz, that means that we're talking about yitur bigadim. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo amru chatzitza pachot mishalosh o shalosh. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't say it as a chatzitza unless it's at least 3x3 etzbaot. Ela b'makom bigadim. That's a makom bigadim. Av shalo b'makom bigadim shalosh o shalosh chotzetz. So only time we say that less than 3x3 is a chatzitza, that is when it's in the makom bigadim. Like we saw before, nima achat can be a problem. If it's not in the place of begadim, then you need the shalosh shalosh etzbaot to be chotzetzet. Pachot mishalosh, if it's less than 3x3, ain chotzetzet. Then it's not chatzitza. V'hainu de Rava. Now Rabbi Yochanan is identical to Rava. Rabbi Yochanan just said exactly what we saw in Rava before, which is that where the makom begadim, any amount is chotzetz. Outside of the makom begadim, you need a minimum of 3x3. V'hainu de Rava. Amar Rav Chista, the lema pliga of the Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia. Let us say that Rava's statement here argues on Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia because he's talking about shalosh al shalosh, and Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia talks about tziltzul katan as being a chatzitza outside of the makom bigadim. So Gemara says no. The same answer we gave before, which is shani tziltzul katan dechoshiv, because tziltzul katan is chashuv. And since it's chashuv, it gains the status of this is shalosh al shalosh b'etzbaot. So once again, we can reconcile Rava with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chia. Obviously, we can't reconcile Rabbi Yochanan because they're arguing explicitly over there about this issue. So now Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, says that we're dealing with an issue of chatzitza here. Then why does our Mishnah talk about a gemi? Why doesn't our Mishnah talk about a tziltul katan? Adashmino nami gemi, vishmino tziltul katan. Why is our Mishnah talking about a gemi? Let it talk about a tziltul katan. Because the tziltul katan is also is mutar, because it's below the 3x3 as both. So why is it mentioning a gemi and not a tziltul katan? It says, Milta gaborche gamash malon. It teaches us, as an aside, this issue, the gemi masi, that reeds have medicinal or healing properties to them. So better to use a reed than to use a tziltzul katan. Tziltzul katan is a beged and doesn't have those properties to it. Better to use the gemi than the tziltzul katan. The Mishnah could have said tziltzul katan, but it mentioned gemi to teach us this additional item that the reason they were putting on gemi was because of its healing properties. All right, we'll stop over here.